Don't know if ever you've driven in around a complicated road network, and you think you've got in the right lane, and all of a sudden you're wanting to go straight on, and suddenly you're confronted with an arrow on the road that says this is the turning left lane. And then you suddenly see you don't have a lot of manoeuvre room to move out of the lane, and when you try and move out, you're annoying other drivers. I know some of you avoid the big roundabout at Kew because you don't like going into that roundabout. It gets confusing. If you were going into Liverpool and you're going to go to the city centre, you have to make sure that you don't get into the lane that goes down the Wallasey Tunnel. Because you wanted to go straight onto into Liverpool, and if you happen to be in the inside lane and you don't get out of that lane, suddenly it's too late because you found you're flowing with the traffic down into the tunnel, and then you'll have to travel 3 miles probably to get to the other end. And then what happens at the other end? You have to pay £1.70. And then you'll have to go all the way round to the top of that bridge and come all the way round and pay another £1.70. And then drive another 3 miles back. And you've probably lost 20 minutes if the traffic is all right. If it's rush hour, it probably takes you much longer. And you probably will not be a happy bunny because you took the wrong lane. Because actually, the markings are very clear. Not right at the last minute, but quite a way back to say, this is the lane for Wallasey Tunnel, this is the lane for Liverpool City Centre. And so therefore, if you don't notice what the sign is saying, it's okay just seeing the sign, but you've actually got to do what the sign is telling you, get in the right lane. Otherwise, you end up in the wrong lane, and in this case, few miles on your car, some money to pay for the toll and time. Jesus was speaking at the end of a sermon that he'd been preaching to a whole group of people. And the words that we read were his concluding words. He was telling the people who were listening to him, look, there's a new way. I have come to introduce a new kingdom. The kingdom's always been there, but now I have brought it onto this earth. And if you want to become a citizen of this kingdom, then you're going to have to listen to what I'm telling you and then do what I'm saying. You have to obey me. This is what is involved in becoming a citizen of this kingdom. In fact, people who became citizens of this kingdom later on got a nickname. The nickname they were given were Christians. And that's a word we use widely today. But Christian is a nickname for those who listened to Jesus and followed what he said, obeyed. And of course, what Jesus was teaching was all revolutionary. It was all different. People had not heard these things before. And so therefore, the teaching that had been given throughout this sermon was so different to everything that people had heard up to date. So as he comes towards the end of this sermon, he now emphasizes, okay, you've heard all these things. Now go away and put it into practice. You cannot just say, I want to be a follower of Jesus, and they do nothing about it. And so we read in verse 46, who do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Who is Jesus talking about? He's talking to those who are addressing him as Lord, Lord. These are people who would have given him some recognition that he was somebody important, the very fact that he used the word Lord. They would have acknowledged that he was one with authority, one who had a higher position. In fact, there would have been some who would have recognized maybe there is something divine about Jesus, and I can use the word Lord. And even to acknowledge him to have to be a king who is full of majesty, and therefore I am addressing him as Lord, Lord. But whatever the reason for these people addressing Jesus as Lord, Jesus is saying, but you're dishonest. You're confessing me to be your Lord, but you don't do what I'm telling you to do. You're not obeying. Now, obeying what Jesus is saying has long-term consequences. Because the big question we all have in our minds is, what is going to happen on that day when I have to face my Maker? And the very fact of whether we obey Jesus and put into practice what Jesus is saying will affect what happens on that day when we have to face God. So you say there's a link between what happens right at the end to what we do today. You cannot gain any merit with God if you don't do what God is telling you to do. If you're disobeying God, what possible way could you seek any acceptance by God if you're disobeying Him? There is no way. So if we're serious about God, then we have to show it. We have to demonstrate that we belong to Him. It's interesting that how football supporters give us an example of what it means when you are following. I'm showing my allegiance, and they will demonstrate their allegiance by attending at the matches and probably wearing the outfit of the team. How do we demonstrate an allegiance to God? By obeying Jesus. That's what Jesus is beginning to say as he comes towards the end of this sermon. Now, Jesus' sermon could have ended there. He's made his point. I've taught you all these things. Now, I want you to go away and do what I'm telling you to do. But he thinks the thing, what he's saying, is so important that he doesn't end his sermon there, but he goes on to tell a story. And it's a well-known story. It's simple, yet we can so easily miss the point. Okay, we've just been thinking about Jesus finishing a sermon. He's been teaching a lot of people, and he's going to end now with a story, because it's a very important thing he wants people to remember. And the story involves two men. And these two men are going to build a house. And it's a lovely day. It's sunny, blue skies. And it's in a place where they have a lot of sun and blue skies, and people think it's like that all the time. And they start to build. And one gets his spade out, and he starts digging. And he digs. And he's digging. And he's digging. It's not just digging a small hole, but it's a bigger hole. A bigger hole. And then it's of a huge size. And then he goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And all the time he is digging. And then suddenly with his spade, the spade makes a clunking sound. He's hit something hard. He's hit rock. Ah, I can finish my digging now because I've come to some rock, some really hard ground. And from that hard ground, I can now build my house. And then he sets about then putting in his bricks and his cement and starts building from that rock. The other guy, nah, I'm not going to be doing that. All I'm going to do is I'm going to just level the soil as it is, brush any weeds off and things like that, and I'm going to put my bricks and my cement straight onto that soil. Then he's looking across. Yeah, that guy, look at him. He's still in that hole. He's not done anything, and I'm ready to build. And he finishes his building. He gets his mobile out. He takes a selfie with his house, puts it on Instagram to all his friends, says, look, my house. Look at him over there. He's still digging. But after a while, out of this other hole came, you could see the house forming, and then it was finished. And when you looked at the two buildings, you couldn't tell any difference. This house was looking nice. This house was looking nice. And so the man who just thought he could just do it so simply, with a ha-ha, thinking, why did he go and dig that big hole and spend all that time working so hard where I've got a nice house without any difficulties and problems? Then in the distance, suddenly a cloud started to appear. That blue sky started to change as this cloud started to come nearer and nearer and nearer. And then the sky, instead of being blue, started to turn grey. And then from grey, it started to go black. And then, whoop, first drop of rain. Whoop, and the second drop of rain. And then it started raining. Not just in that place, but in all the surrounding areas. In fact, there were some hills nearby. And it started pouring there as well, and as well as everywhere. And it just came down in buckets. Now, what happens when there's a lot of rain? It floods because it's got nowhere to go. And of course, when there's a lot of rain in the hills, it comes flowing down in huge streams. And it wasn't long before the stream started to get higher and higher, and the water just gushed down. And then you got these two houses. And the water just went whoosh against these houses. One of them, suddenly, a creaking noise. And suddenly a crack started to appear in that house. And before long, it got bigger and bigger. And it didn't take long, and the whole thing collapsed. Now, which house do you think collapsed? Yes, the man who just built it on the earth, on the sand, yeah, on the soil. Why do you think it collapsed like that? Why didn't the other house collapse? Yes, because it was built on solid rock. And Jesus told this story to show the importance of why we need to listen to Jesus. Because Jesus is described as the rock. And he was using this picture of two men building the house. One does not bother to put in, to go down to the foundation, to build on the rock. And the other does so. And then when the storm came, the one who didn't build on the rock, his house just collapsed. His life was in ruins as a result of it. And so what Jesus was telling them is very important. You have to not just listen to what I am saying, but you have to do what I'm telling you to do. Just because just listening is not enough. We have to do what Jesus tells us to do. So when you go into your classes on a Sunday, or maybe at home, you're reading the Bible, you're with your mum and dad, these are very important things, because this is what Jesus is speaking to us. And then we have to listen very carefully and do what he's telling us to do. Okay, we can learn a text, okay, about this. Can you, there we are. Everyone who hears these words of mine, okay, can you say those? All right, 1, 2, 3. Everyone then who hears these words of mine. And the next bit is, and does them, okay? So we'll say it all together. Everyone then who hears these words of mine, does them, will be like a wise man. Okay, let's say it all together. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Right, let's say it all together. We'll just say there it is from where we're taking it from, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Okay, I hope you're memorizing it, because I'm going to be testing you in a moment. Okay? 1, 2, 3. Everyone, then, who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The purpose of what Jesus was saying was that the importance of hearing and putting what he said into action. So you've got the first builder, and he comes to Jesus, and he listens to what Jesus is saying, and he takes the things to heart, and then he applies them to his own life. And whatever Jesus commands, he puts into practice. He's the builder who builds his life on the rock, on Jesus. So when the storms come, and these are the storms of life, his foundation is Jesus. Now, what are these storms that we have in our lives? Well, they're trials. They're trials of all shapes and sizes. And often they arrive suddenly and without warning. These storms are not always of our own making. We don't have any control over them. Some storms do occur of our own making, but many do not. Relationships, they can be storms of life. Relationships within the family. Problems maybe we have with colleagues at work, with management, with clients. Relationships within the church. These can be the problems and the storms of life that we have to cope with. And when we want to know how is it that we need to sort out relationships? Well, Jesus is our rock. He's the one who teaches us how we deal with relationships. There's a whole area of temptation in life. Areas we struggle with. Greed and jealousy. These are things that come and at times seem attractive. One thing that affects everybody, and that's bereavement and death. Something our own society has great difficulty with coping, wants to sweep it under the carpet as much as possible. And yet, it's real. It's a storm of life we all have to face at some point. And when it comes, who do we turn to? To help us in our time of grief and trouble, rather than, again, just putting it aside. And many a counselling problem today gets traced back, maybe because bereavement was not dealt with properly. For example, If your life is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, just think what a relief it is to your own family if their lives are also built on the rock of Jesus, and when you die. That's a great comfort to know that their loved one is now in the care of Jesus. The importance of having our lives built on Christ as our foundation. But those who trust in Jesus, there's an extra layer. Because therefore comes the attack of the enemy of God, the enemy of Christ, who deliberately picks on the followers of Jesus. And that's an additional storm that we have to face. The enemy of Jesus is often described as the accuser, and comes along and accuses you of all sorts of wrongdoings you've done in your life. If you have, then you turn to Jesus. He's the foundation. You say, maybe the accuser is right. But Jesus is my foundation, and he's the one who's paid for that wrong in my life by giving his life for me. So this foundation is firm. It can withstand all the storms that come. The one who has Jesus Christ as his foundation is secure and firm. We'll survive the storm, but we'll still be battered. We mustn't think that suddenly because Jesus is our foundation that we are exempt from storms. Storms will come. But by obeying Jesus, what is he doing? He is equipping us to face the storms of life. Jesus describes the other builder as being foolish. He listened to the words of Christ and then did nothing about it. He went his own way, did not trust in God's words. And at first, it may appear as if it's not made any difference whatsoever. The wicked seem to get away with it, you may think. You think of all the corruption that goes on in the world and all the illegal money that many people make, especially those in high authority. And they don't seem to be answerable for it. They get away with it. They prosper. And here you are. You obey Christ. And yet life seems to be a big struggle. There was a man in the Bible many, many years ago, because he's more or less at the beginning of the Bible. His name was Noah. And God told him, I want you to build an ark, a boat. Nobody knew what a boat was in those days, because there wasn't a sea. And there wasn't really rain as we know it. And so he started building this in accordance with how God had told him to do it. And everybody around said, what are you doing, Noah? Well, I'm building an ark. What are you building this ark for? Oh, because God has told me to it, because there's going to be a flood. Well, they just poked fun at him. And it took him many, many years to complete this structure. And of course, the flood did come. Because Noah had obeyed, his life was saved, because his life and his family and the animals were in the ark, and those who had mocked and scoffed, they were lost in the flood. And the storm came, and the waters washed away the house. And the person's life is in ruins. Ultimately, that means they'll end up in a place where God is not. Well, you might say, well, if they're not interested in God in the first place, what difference does it make? Well, currently we live in a place where God is present. Yes, there may be wars, there may be injustices, there may be problems, there may be sicknesses, There may be breakdown in relationships, but God is still in control. He has set boundaries, He set parameters upon this world by which nothing will go beyond those parameters. And we are benefiting because of God being present. Just the very fact as we sung right at the beginning. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The sun rises. The blessings that God gives to us, His mercies every day. Now, if God was to withdraw Himself from our presence, what would happen? Well, everything would collapse. There'd be anarchy. Be every man for himself, and there'd be no controls whatsoever. Can you imagine life on this world where there was no control, no laws, nobody regulating, nobody governing, and every man was for himself? It'd be a mess. And the Bible has a word for this. It is often used in our English language. But in the Bible, and it's taken from the meaning from the Bible, the word is hell. And literally, if God withdrew His presence, hell would break out, as we would use it in our language. But in the Bible, there is this picture being given that it is a place of constant heat and not even a drop of water to help you with relief from that heat. No relief. No time of rest. You can't even get on a Ryanair to have a weekend break. You are there in that situation all the time. This is the effect of a life that is not built on Christ. It is a life that is leading to utter ruin. That's why Jesus made this illustration at the end of His sermon. It was so important for the people to grasp. Everyone is a builder. To live means to build. You're building your life. And there are only two types of builders. There's a wise builder and there's a foolish builder. And we have to fit into one of these two categories. We're either wise or we're foolish. Either you are building your life on a solid foundation, which is in Jesus Christ, or you've ignored what God is saying and you've chosen your own way. Which type of builder are you? If you have not yet built your life on Christ, you can turn to Him. It is not too late. You can confess to Him, say, be the Lord of my life. I'm going to submit to You. I'm going to trust in You. And I'm going to do what You tell me to do. I'm going to willingly obey. Plenty of warning signs to keep you on the right lane. You don't want to go down the Wallasey Tunnel. Obey the signs. The Bible is full of signs. And they are warning signs. And they're warning us that we have to build our lives on Jesus Christ. If we're not building our lives on Jesus Christ, we're in the wrong lane. And then we'll go down a road that will lead to utter destruction. Everyone then who hears the words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock.